Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So we started off yesterday's show with major breaking news in the NBA. James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets, and still continue with the fallout with that. We've got NFL coaching news that continues to pop up, but here on Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio with Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbuemeke, I think the biggest question weighing on everyone's mind right now is, did Victor Oladipo ever hit you back?
He did, actually, about 30 minutes after our show ended, and he was laughing. He put like 100 laughing faces, and I'm like, I'm so happy for you. And it's weird because we talk about trades and how big this blockbuster of a trade was, but a lot of things get lost in the sauce. You've got Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, Victor Oladipo with new destinations. And he just was like, oh, yeah. He's like, I forgot. You're always in L.A. I'm like, yes, I'm in L.A. He's like, but are you ever home? Home is Houston. And I'm like, yeah, I'm home, you know, fairly often whenever I can be. He's like, good. Now I have a friend. I was like, oh.
Purity.
Like, we talk about these guys and how they have to perform on the court. And that's what we look and see the lens of the millions of viewers that watch the NBA. But reality, this is a man that has to relocate his entire life very soon in the middle of a pandemic and deal with all of those types of things. So, yeah, he was like, I'm glad I have a friend. I was like, oh, snap. Wow. Like, I forgot about that. So, yeah.
It is a crazy reminder, though, you're right, of what players go through in these certain regards. And it's not to ask anybody to cry tears for them, but to remember that there are human beings that go through all of this. And so, you're right. We've got a lot more angles to what went on yesterday. Again, the blockbuster trade that sent James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets to team up with Kyrie and KD. And we want to get into plenty of that here in about 10 minutes, Jhené, because I think there are still some pressing questions about what this team looks like together on the court and if we can even get to that point. But before we get to that, it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because all the news today around the NFL centers around the Jacksonville Jaguars and their head coaching search right now, which, as we see, according to our own Adam Schefter, is circling in on former college football head coach Urban Meyer. Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer are meeting again Thursday, today, as they engaged in advanced talks to see whether they can finalize a deal. For more on this, Adam Schefter joined the guys on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning to give the latest on this situation.
Jacksonville and Urban Meyer are in advanced talks to see if they can finalize a deal. Now, that doesn't mean a deal does get finalized with Urban Meyer. He's been difficult to pin down. But at this point in time, they have continued to meet as recently as yesterday again to see if they can get this deal done and push it across the goal line. I think Urban Meyer recognizes what a tremendous opportunity Jacksonville would be. The Jaguars have the number one overall pick in the draft. They have 11 picks in the draft. They have over $100 million in salary cap space in what is expected to be a depressed market for free agents because the salary cap is going to go down. So Jacksonville is set up to succeed. And if Urban Meyer ever were going to take the jump, this would be the time to do it. But, again, we want to say it has been difficult to pin him down, difficult for him to make up his mind finally, and it's still not done.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we're going to have a couple of guests to help us talk about this because Urban Meyer, I think, is two very big conversations at once. Obviously, there is Urban Meyer, who has been linked to a lot of impropriety around his various college stops, most notably at Florida and at Ohio State, and the things that went on off the field that always make Urban Meyer a tricky conversation when it comes to these things because of the impropriety that took place under his watch at those stops. So there's that conversation, and we'll have Richard Johnson, who you can see on Thinking Out Loud in the SEC Network, who wrote a great piece back when he was at SB Nation about what we saw at Ohio State and what we might see going forward in Jacksonville. But Jhené, there's also the football conversation to have about this, about someone without NFL head coaching experience making that jump to the next level. And I'm curious for you, because we celebrated your Stanford head coach, Tar Vanderveer, on this show for a major milestone when we were earlier this season. You also now currently play in the WNBA. And so I'm curious, from your standpoint, the differences that you see that people might miss when you're a coach in the college game versus a coach in the professional game, because that becomes a large part of this conversation.
I think we both know this. You playing college football, myself playing basketball collegiately. And when it comes to coaching, when you're in college, everything is about building the foundation for basically your drive. And these coaches are not necessarily the most tacticians compared to the professional level, where that's already innate to the athlete after years of experience, but they're literally building teams and building the work ethic. And I think that's exactly what Urban Meyer did so well at his stops, most notably Ohio State, where you can say he built the foundation that they are still now reaping the benefits of. And it's not just that, you know, another impact of collegiate coaching is recruiting, right? And dealing with, like, you know, a lot of different parts when it comes to being a part of a university. So the transition to the pros is always different because the way we approach the game is different. We're not here like laboring for 3 hours when we were in college. Now that's on you to be in top condition. It's on you to make sure you have your weight training and all those type of things handled. It is your job to perform. It is the coach's job to put you in positions to succeed. And so that mindset to me is going to be extremely curious. But at the end of the day, we all know what he is. He's a winner. You know, when it comes to the lines of the football field, it was funny. I was looking at the records and the Jaguars, they lost 15 games this past season. Urban Meyer lost 15 games in 6 seasons at Florida. And so this guy just is a proven winner. And that mentality, very similar to what I watched with John Harbaugh at Stanford, you know, Jim Harbaugh at Stanford, going now to, you know, Michigan and the stop with the 49ers in between. It's fascinating to see how some things work, those transitions. Sometimes they don't. And so overall, I think that if you're trying to lay a foundation for a team that's looking for direction, this is a good look. But schematically, that's where he will be tested.
Yeah, Chinee, I think this is the interesting part is we've seen plenty of examples of college coaches making the jump and in some case without previous head coaching experience in the NFL. Most recently, Matt Rhule, Cliff Kingsbury, these guys that came from the college ranks, and we're still waiting to see how it works out there. With Urban Meyer, it's different because he comes as, in my lifetime, one of the three best college football coaches that's walked the earth from an on-field performance standpoint of this. But the jump is always difficult. Can you motivate the same way? Can you do all this? And I think a couple of things work in his favor from the football perspective. One is a young team. I had these questions with Joe Judge in New York about could his style as big football guy and we're going to re-rack the whole drill and we're going to go out here and practice kind of like college. Was that going to work in the NFL? And you saw a young team that hadn't had a lot of success, didn't have a lot of reasons to say no to that mindset. It seemed like there was a lot of early buy-in on that. And so Urban Meyer gets a very young, very talent-rich team right now, but that still has not been able to translate that to on-field success right now. And then the second part of that is the schematic versatility, because everyone who looks going all the way back to when he was at Utah, the offense didn't stay the same during those time periods. It was a different offense under Dan Mullen and Addazio versus what he added Tom Herman in Ohio State and then eventually Ryan Day. And I think that ability to not only adapt along the way, but that adaption at Ohio State came after he stepped away at Florida again amidst some circumstances that a lot of people would look at through, you know, a side eye, but took some time, stepped away, and was able to evaluate. He'd been sitting doing TV, and we see this with coaches and GM candidates alike all the time. You get to kind of look around and see and survey the landscape from that 30,000-foot point of view, and I think at times it allows you to come back with a different look at these things. So, again, we'll get into a lot more of this as the day goes along because there are two very big conversations that have to happen. When we always talk, Chinee, about diversity, diversity in coaching hiring in the NFL and the role that retread coaches play and all of these things, it gets really complicated.
It really does, but I'm going to do our read here because that was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise when we're talking about Urban Meyer potentially being tag-teamed, in Jacksonville, and it's going to be really interesting, especially with that number one pick. And I say that because, you know, I said both brothers, John and Jim, in my answer, and the reason why it was Straight Talk is because your girl was at the dentist this morning. And so as I was talking, I was like feeling all the nerves. And how was your view of our pre-show meeting?
I was going to say, taking you guys all behind the curtain, Chinee did go in. We do our meeting on Zoom to prep for the show. And Chinee dials in straight from the dentist chair, introduced us to her dentist who seemed like a lovely man. But Chinee, you were numbed up and we were unsure if we were going to get a drooling Chinee Agumake on the show.
I'm still numbed up. And so if you're watching on ESPN Plus, I was just looking at myself the whole start of the show. And I'm like trying to smile one side of my mouth is like you can see her.
Is this real life?
Is this real life? Yeah. So yeah, I was just, you know, it's Straight Talk, but kind of not really.
I was gonna say it's Straight Talk, but if it sounds a bit like Dale after the dentist, you now know why, because it actually is Chinee after the dentist. And so we'll try and monitor the way Chiney can get through this show right now. Playing through some pain right now, but always a gamer and going to find her way through it.
Got some mashed potatoes for the commercial break. Let's go.
My God. Coming up next, while Chiney munches on some mashed potatoes during the break, we're going to try and figure out some of the questions surrounding James Harden now. Most notably, how does Kyrie Irving fit into this big three? We've got types. Now we just have to figure out which type these guys are going to fit into. We'll do that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Must-see is great news, but especially with what they've put into this, what gets done is the bigger question. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agumake, and we have asked you on Twitter, at Chiney, at Mike Golic Jr., and at ESPN Radio on this. We have a poll question up right now.
I'm going to retweet it.
Yes, I was going to say, we're both going to retweet it from our accounts, too, so you can find it there. But yesterday, we came on the show and both agreed that even after Brooklyn acquired James Harden in that blockbuster trade, we still like the Lakers as the favorite to win it all right now. And so, we asked you to commit to it. Our friends Body Armor in on this one with us. Which team do you think is the favorite going down the stretch of the NBA season? Now, we have the Nets, the Lakers, the Bucks, or write in vote. You can tell us. So, again, at ESPN Radio, at Chiney, and at Mike Golic Jr. on that one on Twitter.
Do you want to know what the early leader is?
It's way out ahead.
Landslide, 75% Lakers.
It seems like, Chiney, all people needed was to see LeBron James get over the mountaintop once, and now we are fully bought in again on basically that Chiefs versus the field, Tiger versus the field idea. A proven champion on a juggernaut dynasty team like the Lakers seems like a layup for everyone.
So clearly Brooklyn's not in the house.
Oh no, you're really going to start trying to sing again, aren't you? It is, for anyone that missed it yesterday in the midst of everything going on.
Magazines, salt and pepper. Limousine. Heavy D up in the limousine, hanging pictures on my wall.
That was Chiney trying to rap Juicy yesterday on the show and butchering a lot of the lyrics early on.
I did not butcher lyrics. I just left dramatic pauses in between the lyrics so that I did not say something that was not literal. But hey, you know what was literal? The trade package that we saw from the Brooklyn Nets putting out a statement that they're very excited about acquiring James Harden. Now, Junior, what's the most fascinating part about this that you want me to break down?
Well, Chiney, I want to ask you this because yesterday we talked about who this put pressure on, and I said it was Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, but obviously, internally, these are three big-time superstars all coming together under one roof. We've watched this happen in other places, and so I'm curious from your standpoint, from a basketball sense, who is under the most pressure here right now with this current big three with Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant?
Immediately, I get visuals of LeBron James at the podium. They're asking him about the B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B- we got to deal with our own teams and then we'll deal with whoever comes out of the East. But the more I started thinking about this trade, I was like, you know what? James Harden actually finessed a situation where the expectations may not be as big as we may think because his teammate, Kyrie Irving, is not there. If the Brooklyn Nets go out there and Kevin Durant is playing like Kevin Durant per usual, and James Harden goes out there and is motivated, gets in shape, gets to being that big time bucket that we hadn't seen the last five games, but now likely is motivated to see. If they mess around and win games, that puts pressure on Kyrie Irving, who's sitting to the side and saying, oh, well, maybe I am the final piece, or at least the last piece, the latest piece, and I'm talking about time, that's going to have to come in here. And if we don't do it, it's not because KD didn't put, you know, consistency out there. James Harden didn't try. Like, when they were out there together and maximizing on this time without one of their big three stars, maybe this is a situation where James Harden actually, by going out there and performing and them winning and them building something, the pressure kind of shifts over to Kyrie saying, are you with us? Are you not? And if these two prolific scorers on the perimeter, KD and James Harden, again, you highlighted it yesterday, top 10 in isolation buckets. If these two go out there and hold it down, which they can do that against most 80% of the teams if they reach their potential, Kyrie Irving is going to be sitting on the side and he comes back and it's more like, well, we haven't had a problem with these two. He actually risked it all to get here. What about you?
Yeah, Chanae, I think that's a timing question, right? Because if Kyrie Irving comes back now and we work through these, it's one thing. But if this turned it into an extended break for Kyrie Irving, and like you said, they're able to get some rhythm in this, then it becomes a different conversation. But I still think, understanding that this is going to be volatile in those ways, there's a lot of pressure on James Harden as the one guy without a ring in this group, right? Because
whatever else we
do to this, like, both Kyrie and Kevin Durant in a much different weight class, I think, than the other two here, have gone out there and won a ring on those spots. It's James Harden whose legacy is missing that crucial element that a lot of us hold against athletes.
Exactly. I think that's a good point, in the sense that Kyrie, even if he would choose to step away from the game this season or even longer than that, he'd say, I've won a championship. I played with what people are saying is our, you know, greatest of all time of our generation. I've done a lot. I've seen a lot. And maybe I just need to step away and find my love for the game again. That's fair. I just think, in the interim, right now, this week, if James Harden, who he can suit up as early as Saturday, and Kevin Durant, I believe, against the Magic, can suit up so early and they can produce, this season the pressure will start to shift. Now, of course, James Harden has to win the championship. He doesn't force this without the idea. We talked about it. You know, everybody has to be a contender that comes, you know, that's coming correct to try to get my talent. Obviously, the pressure is going to be on James Harden in this instance because he's the only one without. In the moment, though, if they do find something sustainable, it is going to be interesting to see how Kyrie Irving's future is really going to be valued according to the franchise.
The Nets are making moves by getting James Harden.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Now, coming up next, though, I want to stick with what happens when Kyrie Irving comes back, because I even think if he's not stepping away, he still might have to step back in the way that they approach these things. We'll explain that in a minute. We'll do it after this word from Indeed. Now, if you need to hire, you need Indeed. When you upgrade your job post, Indeed's going to immediately deliver candidates from their resume database that fit your job criteria. Let Indeed sift through resumes so you can focus on selecting your top candidates. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than any other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. And you can receive a $75 sponsored job credit when you post a job at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. A new big three means different roles. Who's willing to accept theirs? We'll do that next. It's Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We started yesterday with unbelievable excitement over this. I mean, Jay Williams, who you hear every morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, couldn't contain himself.
Wow. The Nets have acquired James Harden.
And so now that they have acquired James Harden, and we get over the initial shock and awe, it's Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chenea Igumike. Chenea, now we get to kind of start to cut into this onion a little more on this, because outside of just the personalities, I think there's also the basketball portion of this conversation that gets interesting anytime you get three stars together, because I always look at it and say, what LeBron James and the big three of Miami gave us was clear types, and I think this held true to an extent when he was in Cleveland with Kyrie Irving. You had, you know, LeBron James, who clearly had to work with Dwayne Wade and figure out he was going to be the alpha in that group. You had Dwayne Wade. Wade County had owned it, was a big-time clutch performer for them. And then you had Chris Bosh, who came in as a multi-time All-Star and a great player, who kind of had to take that third role, that third fiddle, so to speak, and find how he fit into that equation. So I ask you, Chenea, if we're going to big three type this situation with KD, Kyrie, and James Harden, who ends up being Chris Bosh?
Unfortunately, it's likely Kyrie Irving, just because LeBron James, unequivocally on the same caliber, but maybe just a notch below, just because of, you know, the number of championships, Kevin Durant. Now, when we think about D Wade as like the running gunner, the one that's flying up and down the court that gets easy buckets, what he did it in transition, he did it in mid range. James Harden will do it with a step back. That's D Wade. And then Chris Bosh is sort of Kyrie, but you know, the thing is he's a better version of Chris Bosh because he can give you more. But the problem is he's sort of on the outside looking in, because he's literally on the outside looking in when it comes to his team right now. But I think that the power here is, I mean, the big three in Miami, they all had strong personalities, but those personalities were driven to win. Each person was driven to be great. I have the book here and I'll look for it. It's literally D Wade's trainer. And it's all about how intense they were. It's called Relentless, and I'm bringing it up. It's Relentless. And this just outlined how intense they were at trying to be the greatest despite, you know, D-Wade being later in his career. Now the personality is in Brooklyn. It's going to be really fascinating to see what that drive means. I think KD is there. I think James Harden can get back to being there. And that's the question mark, which is why he is Bosh in this equation when it comes to Kyrie.
So for more help on this situation as we break down the current Brooklyn Nets, we're delighted to be joined now on the Goodyear Hotline by Rob Perez, FanDuel NBA analyst. You can check him out on Twitter at Worldwide Wob for some great breakdowns. And Rob, I'd ask you the same question. When you look at this big three, is it very clearly Kyrie who's going to have to find a way to kind of step back and take a lesser role in all this?
Yeah, I want to piggyback on what Janae was just talking about there with the Dwayne Wade big three in Miami. Because when I remember 2010, the very first year that they lost to the Mavericks, there was no defined alpha on that team. LeBron and Wade were trying to figure it out. LeBron was trying to defer to Wade down the stretch and let him be the guy because it was Miami Wade County. And they ended up losing. And LeBron was at the peak of his powers that year. I mean, he has never been as good as he was between 2010 and 2013. Yet he deferred anyway. And I'm looking at this Brooklyn Nets situation right now thinking the same thing about Kevin Durant, who is a god walking amongst mere mortals in terms of playing the game of basketball. And if the thought process is not amongst Kyrie Irving and James Harden, how do we not make Kevin Durant's life easier? Then right there, it's already in trouble.
Very true. Rob Perez, FanDuel, NBA analyst, also here, producer on the social streets, here joining us on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Now, Rob, that moment, every NBA fan this season was waiting for it. Like, we knew we were going to get a season, and the way the season started, we knew that there was some turbulence when it came to James Harden. How are you sort of dealing with the way your timeline was looking, and then also just the impact of this trade, instant reaction?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long couple days for your boy, Chennai. I mean, between Kyrie Irving's saga going on off the court, then we get Harden headed up there. You know, what I'm thinking about was there was a 3 to 5 minute stretch when the news dropped that Harden was being traded to Brooklyn. We didn't know for what. Like, for what? Is Kyrie involved in this trade? Like, there was a lot of questions being asked, and that felt like an eternity. And before you know it, we eventually learned that LeVert is not only involved in the trade, but he's getting moved from Houston to Indiana. Cleveland swoops in and steals Jared Allen. So like many blockbuster trades in the NBA, you do have to wait about 15 to 20 minutes to figure out not only what draft picks are involved, what the protections are, if they're swaps, but more likely than not, it's usually the teams that help the blockbuster finalize that end up winning the trade.
I guess that would be my next question, Rob. You immediately went there. Is this a win for Brooklyn? I mean, they sacrificed so much of their long-term future for this moment here and now. You mentioned some of the difficulties other big threes have had. Was this too much? Did the Nets expose themselves too much here?
Well, I'm going to use a poker analogy because if you take all your chips and you put them into the middle, sometimes the best-case scenario that you're hoping for is a coin flip, and they call it a race. So as soon as Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving signed with the Brooklyn Nets, that franchise was all in on winning the title. They had built up their franchise back from when they made the Garnett, Paul Pierce deal with the Celtics and all those picks they accumulated and built those players, and then they just shipped them out. And you're like, well, here we go again. But they are in a position to win a title, and you don't win NBA titles unless you go completely all in to win that season. Stars win titles. It's not March Madness where it's just any given Sunday you show up and there can be an upset. It's 4 out of 7 games in the playoffs. And the Brooklyn Nets have put themselves in a position where they have 3 of the best players at their specific positions that they play on the court in the entire league. But ultimately, we're going to keep coming back to the same conversation here, 2 of which starts with the chemistry, which you guys have talked about already. But most importantly, who is this team defending? They rank dead last in the NBA in some major defensive categories and efficiency ratings. And that's what I'm going to be watching as opposed to if they can figure it out.
It was a big-time acquisition, but you're right. It comes with, I think, a lot more questions than answers at this point outside of just the sheer gravity of the move. Rob, we appreciate the time and insight, man. I'm sure
Thanks, Rob.
Be talking to you very soon as this situation continues to give us more content.
Thanks, guys.
Rob Perez.
I actually read books on my you know, library behind me.
That was my question. Had you actually read this? Because everyone's got their bookcase set up at home. I actually trust that you have read them, being a proud nerd.
Yes, I have read them. I highlight and underline and everything. Yes.
I thought you were going to show me someone signed it and, like, gave you a personal note in it, and it was another one of your mentors.
No. This one I just read.
This one. You know what? And that is more than good enough for us. That was Rob Perez joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Shanae and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. A reminder, head to Twitter at ESPN Radio, at Shanae, and at Mike Golic Jr. Vote on our poll right now.
Yes.
Even with the James Harden acquisition, I still believe, Shanae still believes the Lakers are the favorite. Who do you think is the favorite? The Nets, the Lakers, the Bucks? Or you can write in somebody else in that spot. So keep those votes coming. But coming up next, we got to head to the NFL because the division round is considered one of the best football weekends of the year right now. Coming up next, the Browns were able to pull off one miracle already. Did they got two in the bag? We'll get to that after this word from Body Armor.
New year, new me, baby. Oh, yeah, I know Cliff's over that and we don't like cliches, but start the new year off right by committing to your fitness goals and let Body Armor Lite help you achieve them. Y'all, my mouth is moving. I'm so excited. The dentist is wearing off. Body Armor Lite is the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Whatever your goals might be, Body Armor Lite is keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. Y'all, I use this after I go to work on my VersaClimber now. From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor Lite product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. Yeah, like our game, that's bacommittofit.com. The beginning of our AFC preview for the divisional weekend. We will get you set. That's right after this. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Prove yourself, Junior.
It's Shanae and Golic Jr. yourself. Here on ESPN Radio. Shanae?
Prove yourself.
No, I'm going to prove just how diverse a crowd we have around this show right now. Because before we get into the Browns trying to pull off an historic upset this weekend against the Chiefs, I have to acknowledge what just happened in this studio. All the small things just played coming back from break. One of those like punk alt-rock anthems from when we were all in middle school. Anyone who's right around or just over the age of 30. Everyone, you know, for the younger crowd, elementary school in that spot. Anyone who was around yesterday as we were breaking the Harden news remembers Chanae butchering the lyrics to Juicy. For anyone that doesn't, here it is.
Word Up Magazine, Salt and Pepper Limousine, hanging pictures on my wall. Yo, come on. That's unfair. I didn't want to mess up the lyrics that I was ambivalent on, so I just left dramatic pauses. But I just wanted you to prove yourself because that song was very much in your lane.
Well,
that's in your Hall of Fame.
And Shanae, I say this because that very much is. Like, that was part of my middle school life. And around here, Bubba, who's one of our great producers around here, you've seen him going all the way back to Mike and Mike. You see him on the with Greeny every day. Walks in here and utters this sentence that will now live rent-free in my brain forever, which is, the Avon, Connecticut, where me and Bubba are both from, is a very homogenous town. It is a very white town to grow up in. Bubba walks in here and goes, "All the small things is Avon, Connecticut's Juicy." Meaning, if you grew up here, you probably know all the lyrics.
Limousine. Y'all are evil. Evil. So, I grew up in the northwest suburbs of Cypress, Texas, and that's pretty much what the anthem was for me, too. So, like, give me some grace. And I was doing homework, not studying lyrics. But still, I understand the way that I am melanated. Yes, I took an L yesterday.
You know what? But we are here to try and find wins all around. It's Shanae
really,
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I like to think so, Shanae, because, again, what a crazy time where we can talk about all that and hear that sentence uttered, and then in the next breath get to talk about the actual sports topic of, can the Cleveland Browns now win a second playoff game this year? After not winning one since 1994, now the Browns fans are so emboldened, despite being 10-point dogs right now to the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Shanae, you see any way forward for the Cleveland Browns on this one? Because I think this might be the stop where the good story ends.
And that is why today we will be previewing the AFC, especially when it comes to the divisional. Hit the music, Cliff.
Oh, you want the NFL music and everything. I love it.
All the way. You know, so you talked about them winning multiple games, and I believe that it has been more than 70 years since the Cleveland Browns have won multiple games in the same postseason. Now, you know, I love homework and I love nuggets. That's why I didn't know lyrics. But here's something that's been really fascinating. And you know this, Junior. I've been following this. And while they play with house money a lot, things come down to the wire sometimes. You know, they can play comfortable from behind. The last time that the Chiefs won a game by two scores was in week 8 against the Jets. So if there's going to be a miracle, you would hope, I mean, not hope, but like Cleveland is hoping that maybe that whole time off and also, you know, just sort of skating through the season, maybe that will put them in a position that might be a little bit more vulnerable, Junior.
Yeah, Chiney, that's, I think, what you can hope for in this spot right now is the rest versus rust conversation on Kansas City's side. And then Cleveland getting whole. Like, most of the reason we thought they weren't going to fare well last week was tied to all the people they were missing because of COVID-19 right now. And now they're all coming back. Their head coach and play caller, Kevin Stefanski, talking about Denzel Ward, one of their great corners, Joel Bitonio on their offensive line. They're getting whole at the most important time right now for this team. At the same time, where Kansas City, who we said looked largely disinterested through most of the season, is going to have to come in. And now, are we counting on them to, again, be able to climb out of holes? Because it wasn't even like last year they came back and immediately started playing their best football.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of people will say that all eyes will be on Baker Mayfield, who has really stepped up to the challenge as of late ever since. And we always point this moment as like an inflection point. Odell Beckham Jr. goes down and everyone's like, well, you lose one of your greatest targets. What will you do? Well, that actually allowed them to simplify the offense. They go with their running game, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. And now you just have him playing within himself and it's translated in stability. And it's interesting because, you know, despite all of that, I feel like it's that running game that will have to go crazy for them to be successful.
Yeah, Chiney, because that fits right into what generally tends to give the Chiefs problems. If you're not a team that's going to go straight air raid with them, because I think the Bills and the Chiefs, very similar constructed teams right now. But the other teams that we've seen have success, when Detroit gave them trouble a couple years ago, when the Patriots were in those high-scoring affairs, but where the Patriots tried to just steal possessions here or there by dominating the ground game, the Browns can do that naturally. That's a built-in part. They're not going outside themselves in this. Because, Chiney, that's the other part of this, is I don't want people to read too much into situations that are outside of the norm here. The Browns' defense is not very good. I want to say that first and foremost. And they're getting pieces back that are going to help. But it's basically on the strength of, can Myles Garrett raise enough hell for you yep. to make things happen? But don't think that them giving up 500 yards to Ben Roethlisberger is necessarily an implication that it's that bad, because so much of that was game flow specific. You know how it is. You get a big lead, there's nothing more dangerous at times, because you start to play prevent, you start to play back, and they can eat up a ton of yards even without it meaning much.
But, Junior, is there an opportunity for Cleveland offensively? Because we talk so much about the Chiefs' offense, but how about their defense?
Well, the Chiefs' defense is interesting, Chiney, because last year we said all they've got to do is just enough. Can you get one more possession back for your offense? Can Tyrann Mathieu and that defense play a little more aggressive? And they did, and they were able to last year. This year it's been, all right, when they're whole. And so I think for them it's going to come down to some of those interior matchups where Cleveland's been the best in the middle of its line at times. Can you get a guy like Chris Jones to be able to get quick pressure on Baker Mayfield? Because we know that's an offense that wants to move the pocket. And so Frank Clark being able to kind of set that edge, keep Baker Mayfield inside there and make him uncomfortable, that's the difference, because they've been able to play call Baker through some of those ceilings.
Cannot wait to play End Zone Friend Zone as we get our picks tomorrow.
Yes, very excited to get some of the picks in for this one. We'll have our NFL picks expert, Tyler Cameron from The Bachelorette, joining us in just a little bit here right now as we look towards the rest of the AFC matchups today on this show before getting into, I think, the biggest one of the weekend tomorrow with Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and the NFC South moving into the NFL playoffs. But coming up next, why don't we stick with that right now? We got roses to hand out on this show and just the man to do it. We'll do it next on Chiney and Golic Jr.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.